Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. My name is Cora Gernan. I created this space for women to share all of the details surrounding their pregnancy, labour, birth and everything in between without feeling shy about the detail. Sit back and enjoy over 100 hours of birth stories told by you, the listeners. Enjoy. Hello there. I hope you've all had a great week and enjoyed that gorgeous weather. Just what we all need. It was so lovely. We just played in the back garden all weekend. And I don't have a new episode for you this week because my guest and I, we just couldn't manage to get a time to do our interview. So between sickness, late nights, up with babies, and just life just got in the way a little bit this week of our chat. But we are chatting today, in fact, and I have two more interviews this week as well. So fear not, that won't be happening again. But I chose to re-release an interview that I love. Way back in February 2021, episode 46, I spoke to Leanne, who spoke to me about her one pregnancy and the birth of her little boy, James. A really gorgeous story. It wasn't what she initially planned, so she opted for a home birth, but she went into hospital and then had to have an emergency C-section after hours of labour, but it was a really positive experience. So she has a really nice outlook. She shares how her partner supported her in the hospital, her midwife support, and she also still got those 2 glorious weeks of antenatal care from her midwife, which are just so vital and everybody should be entitled to them. I also wanted to mention that Leanne, I think it was late last year, launched a new business called the Beatbox, and they're gorgeous little gift boxes to gift new parents. Really nice. I saw little booties in the boxes last week. Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. So yeah, I definitely wanted to pop that in there, and I'll pop their details in the show notes. Also, if I could ask you a favour, if you're enjoying the podcast and you're loving the conversations that we have every week, if you could, that's my little man coughing in bed beside me, if you could review the podcast wherever you listen to yours, subscribe, or simply leave a rating. It goes such a long way in giving the podcast that little bit more exposure. So I would really appreciate it if you could take a moment to do that. I'll leave you alone. Have a great week. I will chat to you on Monday with a brand new episode. Enjoy, and I will chat to you then. Leanne, you are very welcome to Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. If you want to just begin by giving us a little introduction to you and your lovely family.
Hi, Cora. Thanks for so much for having me on. I'm very excited. My name is Leanne. I'm 36. I live in a small village called Prosperous in County Kildare with my husband, Jamie. We got married May 2019, the year before last. We had a lovely wedding over in Spain. And then shortly after, 9 months to be exact, I gave birth to my gorgeous little boy, James. So that's where we are at the moment. He's a big bundle of joy.
So will we just get stuck straight into your pregnancy? Was your pregnancy planned?
So we got married, as I said, we were married, and we sort of said after the wedding that we would, you know, we'd try something we've both always wanted. So we kind of, when we came back from honeymoon, it was planned, and we were very, very lucky, very blessed that it actually happened for us straight away. I know it's not that way for everybody, but yeah, I was really, really lucky. It's so strange. I said to my husband on honeymoon, like, I feel a bit, this sounds so ridiculous already, like, I feel a bit different already. And maybe in my mind, I was just, you know, praying that I was. We came back then from honeymoon, and we had a party back in Nice, because our wedding was quite small over in Spain. So we had a big party, and we were actually going to the party. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm telling you, I'm pregnant. Like, and I just had a feeling. And I remember his mom actually said to me that night, she sort of looked at me and she said, I think you're pregnant.
Stop.
So it was just one of those feelings. You know, you just get a feeling. And like, I still had to wait another 2 weeks or whatever. But yeah, it turned out that I was. So, it was just amazing. We were absolutely over the moon. I mean, we weren't expecting it to be so soon, but we were absolutely delighted. So yeah.
So how did you feel in those first few weeks of pregnancy?
First couple of weeks, great. I'm one of these really annoying people, Cora, that like, I loved being pregnant, and I'm sure, I know it's not like that for everyone, but I loved it. I kind of always wanted to be pregnant, so I just really, really enjoyed it. I was a little bit sick. I was lucky enough for the whole pregnancy that I wasn't too sick. I didn't really throw up at all, but those first couple of weeks, I just had that hungover feeling, I used to call it, just that sicky, never went away, but totally manageable. And I'm very lucky in that sense, I was never that sick. But yeah, I was just like, I just loved it. I hated having to keep it a secret from anyone. I was terrible. I told my parents pretty much straight away, and my sisters, two sisters, and then a couple of friends I told them after a while. But I was just so, I felt really great in the first couple of weeks. I just kind of got straight into it, I bought all the books, got kind of completely obsessed with it, read all the books, and got really into all the podcasts. So it's so weird, because if this podcast had been around, Cora, like, it's amazing now, and all the guests you've had on, you've had so many amazing episodes. But like, I was listening to podcasts from all different, probably from Australia, UK, and I was just got really into it. I know a lot of them, you know, it's so nice to actually relate to, you know, like, local, you know, you might know someone, or to hear like true, real honesty. You know, your podcast is quite unscripted, and it's, you know, you can be vulnerable and honest, and I really like that. So if I had had this at the time, I'd say it would have helped an awful lot. But yeah, I just kind of dove into it and got into all the podcasts, and just immersed myself in it, and I loved it. Did the prenatal yoga. It flew by for me. I found the pregnancy really flew, but I absolutely loved it. It was probably the best I've ever felt. You know, my skin, hair, and nails, you know, it just sort of suited me. Everything was going great. My hair, I don't think my hair's ever been as thick and shiny. and now I'm like, oh, please, it's all falling out. So I really liked it. And I know that's annoying when people say that, you know, that they love being pregnant, but I really did. Yeah, I really did.
No, it's lovely to hear that. So through educating yourself so much, did you decide on any specific birth preferences, or what was your plan there?
Yeah, so we initially, it was just the standard route that we were going to go down. You know, went to the doctor, decided to go for a hospital birth. We picked the comb. A few of my friends had given birth in the comb, and our doctor just kind of recommended it. So I decided to go with the midwife-led care. So it would be, some of the appointments were in the Nace clinic, which was handy for us. And then the rest were up in the comb. Mm-hmm. I actually only needed to go to the comb, I think, once in the whole 9 months. So I loved that it was local, you know, that I could just pop up to my scans and stuff in Nace. So I kind of, I just sort of went along with it for the first couple of weeks. But the more of the podcasts I was listening to, and, you know, reading books and stuff, I got really into the Ina May Gaskin Guide to Childbirth. I know a lot of women have read it. Amazing. I loved that book. And it kind of opened my eyes to home birth, which I had never, ever, and that's the truth, I'd never really thought about it before. So Yeah, from sort of the second I read about it, and we kind of looked a bit more, delved a bit into it deeper, and I decided this sounds like this for me. Anyone who knows me will know I'm sort of afraid of, I have a bit of a fear of hospital, anything medical. I'm terrible. Like, I'd get my blood pressure taken, I'm likely to faint. You know, I'm one of these, like, I can't get my bloods taken, I can't get needles, I'm dreadful. So hospitals kind of freaked me out anyway. And I think before I got pregnant, I was thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this if I'm ever pregnant, you know, like, how will I get through it? But of course, as soon as you're pregnant, that goes out the window, everything, you're totally fine. And I was fine. But when I heard of home birth, and just that it was, you know, the comforts of your own home, and I researched it, and I thought, this is right up my street. I love this idea. So we were well into the pregnancy. I think I was nearly 30 weeks actually. And I decided I'd sort of changed my mind. Okay. I said, I need to find out about this home birth. I didn't know anyone who had a home birth. So I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it or to ask questions. I couldn't find a whole lot of information on it. I kind of went and looked at a couple of the Instagram accounts, and, you know, I was looking online, and again with the podcast, but nothing local to me, nothing, like, I didn't even realize how easy it was to find out the information about a home birth. So I eventually, yeah, I just contacted the HSE, and I got in touch with Anya, who is, I think she was your midwife. Yeah, and I've heard her name mentioned so many times on this podcast. She's just amazing. I think she's been a midwife to loads of ladies in the area. I got in touch with her and just said, you know what, I'll just have a chat with her. I don't know anything about home birth, but I'd love to find out about it. And yeah, that, from that moment, our whole plan changed, and we decided to go down the home birth route. So I didn't, I think I kind of kept it to myself for a while. You know, probably yourself, you had a home birth, did you? I think that you did, yeah. You know, yeah, the resistance that you're going to be met with immediately, you know, when you mention home birth to anyone who hasn't, who doesn't know a whole lot about it. And I was a bit resistant at the beginning as well. Of course, you have your little fears and doubts. But I kind of kept it to myself. I didn't even really mention it to Jamie, my husband. I just sort of went and did the research and said, look, I'm going to invite Anya up to the house to have a chat with us. So I think I told him, like, that day, I said, look, there's a midwife coming to the house just to have a chat, hear her out, and, like, find out all about home birth. I was just so interested in it. And, she came to the house that evening, and it was like, you know, Anya, it's like sitting with a friend that you've known for years. I made her tea, we had the firelight, and we were chatting all about home birth. And, I was giddy. Like, I was sitting on the chair, I was on the edge of the chair, like, asking her every question. I had so many questions. Like, you know, when you just connect with someone and you just know, this is exactly what I need. This is for me. I think, like, straight away, just, she was talking all about it, and all about the care. You know, I loved the fact that all the appointments would be at home, and, you know, you get to build up a relationship with her. And I loved the idea of having the water birth at the end. And I'd done it, like, as I said, I was looking through every video on the internet of water birth, and I just became obsessed with it. And I just thought it was amazing, and I knew I could do it. And I was in a great, just a really positive headspace. And I thought, this is for me. So before she left, it was so funny. She must have had like 4 cups of tea, loads of biscuits. And I was like, so do you want another cup of tea? I just wanted to talk about it all night to her. And before she left, she was like, now listen, think about it, you know, you're under no pressure. And myself and Jamie, I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and he was like, he just sort of nodded, he knew straight away. And I said, yeah, we're doing it. So within, I didn't even have to discuss it, we knew straight away. So quite late on, it was about 30 weeks, and we decided to go for the home birth. So that kind of started the ball rolling with Anya, and how we got sort of geared up to have our home birth in the kitchen, which, as the story goes on now, you'll find that we actually planned, obviously I planned a home birth, but it did end in a section. So I'll get to that, but it didn't end exactly how I had planned it. But this is how we got into the home birth. And I was just, yeah, over the moon. It's like, this is the way to go. This is what I want.
So what was the reaction from your friends and family in the end? How did they feel about you choosing to give birth at home?
Yeah, well, I think everyone, you know yourself, like I think everybody is a little bit, you know, hesitant at the start. It's all a bit like, oh God, what if anything happens? You know, first thing, like, obviously you're going to have midwives there. I think they think you're going to just be, I don't know, giving birth on the floor on your own, you know, with no one around. And I don't know. It's the perception of it is different, isn't it? And it's only just because I don't think a lot of women that I know just haven't had home births. It's not really spoken about. It is now. I find it's really now that I've looked into it, like this every second, you know, there's so many of us now that are having them.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the beginning, it was very much when my parents were a little bit worried. They thought it was amazing that I wanted to do something like that on my own. And but yeah, they were a bit like, oh, geez, you know, what if anything happens? You know, your mind immediately does go a bit to the negative, which is just, I think it's in our nature, isn't it? We're worriers anyway. So it was kind of met like that at the start. And then as soon as I kind of, but we spoke about it more and I, you know, educated everyone on it, everyone was like on board with it. They were obviously a little bit nervous, thought I was a bit mad. And I had the pool, you know, from early enough, we got the pool and I wanted to have the whole place laid out. I had the fairy lights hanging on the ceiling, all my affirmations, like, you know, stuck up all over the kitchen. I'm sure they all thought I was cracked. Like,
yeah. Mine are still up. I'm just refusing to take mine down and they'll stay there.
Yeah, they think, but if anyone who knows me knows, that's kind of the way I am. Anyway, I'm kind of living my own little world half the time. So I don't really think it was a big surprise to them. They were a bit like, yeah, that's Leanne. That's so you. Like, you'd have to do something like that, you know, and sort of slagging me. But we did the hypnobirthing, which helped massively and educated us. And that's probably why I was so confident about the whole thing, to be honest, because I know the hypnobirthing pops up a lot, I think, with home births. It should anyway. I think I'd recommend it to anybody giving birth, whether it's hospital or not. But it really helped us. We loved it. Anya actually runs with hypnobirthing courses as well. So we did a private one with her in the house, myself and Jamie. And I think we loved it. Like, it just gave us so much information about what was going to happen and all the techniques we'd need. And it just made it such a lovely experience, the whole, like, for the final weeks of coming up to the labor. And I wasn't anyway nervous, or, you know, I just relished it. I just really, really, really enjoyed it and really looked forward to it. It's funny, I'm a planner by nature. So, like, I need to have everything, you know, planned out. I need to know what's going to happen, where I'm going to be. I'm not really a let's just wing it, see what happens kind of girl. Like, I have to kind of have a bit of a plan. So I loved this, that I, you know, I was going to be in control of this. It was going to be in the house. We knew where it was going to happen. We, you know, Jamie had his jobs that he'd have to do. And I kind of loved that. And Anya was teaching us so much about what was actually going to happen. And, you know, with my body and just talking us through the whole thing. And I loved that. I think that helped immensely in the end, because I just felt really empowered and, you know, just really confident, which is lovely to have when you're coming up to it, sort of it. I suppose it is a, can be a scary time in your life. It's I just felt really, felt really good and really safe and relaxed about the whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds like you were really involved in the preparation as well.
Yes, that's it was. Yeah. It's just, I knew, it was, that's exactly what it was. It was, I won't say it was like a little project, but in a way it kind of felt like it was, you know, something that we were fully involved in. It wasn't just, you know, something that was going to happen to me. Yeah. I felt I was 100% kind of taking charge and, you know,
So just run us through the last few weeks. When did you feel like your body was changing and your body was getting ready, basically?
Oh, yeah. So the due date kind of came and went for me. I felt absolutely fine at the end. I was just huge. I was just massive. He was quite a big baby. I kind of knew that anyway. But I felt great. I was still doing my yoga. I actually teach Zumba classes, and I was doing that right up to, nearly 9 months. So I felt brilliant in that sense. towards the end, I was just tired. Feet were huge, you know, the usual, you're just swollen. You're just like slowing down a little bit, but I felt great. My due date kind of came and went, and everything was fine. There was one or two nights I was kind of getting towards the end. I think I was 41 plus 4 days, I think. And I was just getting kind of pains in my lower back and my kind of my bum kind of area. It's like the top of my, or the top of my bum, floor, my lower back. And I had, he was born on the Tuesday. So on the Thursday before that, I had an appointment in the clinic in Nice. So I just went in as I normally do, like my normal appointments. And the consultant, actually I was seeing midwives the whole time. Obviously it was midwife led care, but this time there was a consultant there who I'd never met before. Just went in as normal, sat up on the bed, and he checked everything out. I felt absolutely fine. I think I'd gotten a sweep. I got a sweep on the Wednesday. So the day before Anya came to the house and we did a sweep and nothing happened. I didn't really feel like anything was happening, but I was patient enough. I just sort of said, look, we still have time. It's great with the home birth. You have to 14 days. You can go 14 days without. Isn't that what it is? I think with the hospital, yeah, you only have 11 days or something. So I knew it was fine. I was in no panic. I wasn't even talking about, you know, I was just sort of taking it in my stride. But yeah, at the appointment then, the consultant sort of measured me and he said there was fluid around the baby. And he said, oh, you're measuring very big, or the baby's measuring very big. Come back in on Monday and we'll induce you. And I thought, hold on a minute. So I hadn't really met him before, but he looked at my charts then and he realized that I was down for home birth. And I kind of said to him, oh, no, I won't be back in here Monday. Like, I'm having home birth. And he just said to me, I'd highly advise against that. I sort of looked at him and said, okay, that's your opinion, but you know, like, I didn't really think anything of it. I just thought, no, I'm having it at home. I'm not really listening to what you're saying, because I just kept thinking in my head, you know, Anya knows best. I was with Anya yesterday, everything's fine. And yeah, he just said, no, listen, this baby's too big. I'd advise against that, and there's fluid, you know, it's just too dangerous or something. So off I toddled, and I was upset when I left. I was kind of annoyed at him actually, because I was like, who is he? Just, you know, I've never seen this consultant before and I feel fine and everything's grand. I still actually felt fine. I didn't have any pains or anything. The Friday then I did start getting the pains. So the next morning I woke up and Anya, I had a visit with Anya, my midwife, the normal visit. She came to me in the morning. And it was exciting. It was actually Valentine's Day. That was Valentine's weekend. And I remember her saying to me, we just got really excited about it all. And she was just looking through my notes and she just opened up the page and said, is this from yesterday? And I said, yeah. And he actually wrote in my notes that I wasn't to have, he advised against a home birth. So Anya kind of looked at me. I looked at Jamie and I just knew. I just looked at her and I said, you're not going to tell me I can't have this home birth. And she just looked at me. I just burst into tears. Like, it was just, it was written down. It was on the record. He was the consultant. He just advised against it. Her hands were totally tied. But I was sobbing. Like, I just couldn't believe that he could have just like that, I wasn't going to have my home birth. And I felt completely fine. I just didn't understand it. So yeah, I was really upset. I couldn't get my head around it at all. So anyway, it was fine. I still felt great. So Anya said to me, look, go up to the coom and get a proper scan. Let's see how big this baby is. And like, I knew I was going to have a big baby. I was actually, I was 10'7". I was a big baby. My mom had three big babies. So I didn't think there was any problem. I knew he was going to be big, but I don't know. I felt like it would be absolutely fine. Anya had every faith in me. You know, our plan was good. But so that sort of threw a spanner in the works for me and my plans. So yeah, it wasn't the best Valentine's Day of all, because I just spent the whole day absolutely bawling. We drove up to the coom and I was having none of it. I was just like in denial. I was like, no, I'm having my home birth. I've planned this. I believe in like visualization and manifesting everything. And I kind of I had it all literally in my mind, like it had already happened. You know, it was very clear in my mind. And looking back, I know I should have had a plan B, but I didn't even see past. I just thought this is what's going to happen. And you know, when you just have, you see something so vividly, and I felt everything. I could smell what was happening around me. You know, I had the whole place laid out, and yeah, I found that very hard to all of a sudden just surrender to the fact that it was just taken away from me. You know, so that was a bit crap that day. But you know, it didn't really matter, because I started kind of feeling uncomfortable then on the Friday, and I thought, you know, it is what it is. The baby's going to be here soon. I think I was just a bit numb from it all. Just think of this, you know, when you get yourself so geared up for something. But anyway, look, I soon got over it. I knew it was what was going to happen. So I kind of had to get my head around it. What was going to happen, that we were looking into the possibility of a hospital birth after all that. I just couldn't believe it, just like that.
Yeah. Do you think the hypnobirthing helped kind of deal with that adjustment or deal with that change in plan?
Yes, you massively. So we spoke about that, even, you know, Anya was amazing. We were talking about it, and same with Jamie. Like, we'd worked on the hypnobirthing, had it just puts you in a lovely mindset. So you know that you're in control, you know that you can do it, you know, it teaches you so much, even the simple things like the breathing and just surrendering into your body. And I really loved it. And I think when all that happened, I kind of just, yeah, it definitely calmed me a little bit more. Like, I wasn't hysterical or anything. I was just really upset that, you know, that it wasn't going the way I had planned. And in the end, the hypnobirthing completely helped me, because you know what I ended up was the complete opposite to what I had envisioned in my mind. So, and I dealt with that really, really well, and I had a really, really positive experience in the end. So it didn't really matter the circumstances as to how, you know, how he was born. I still had the gorgeous birth that I wanted, which is all that really matters in the end, and that's all I really wanted. It was just in a different environment to what I had originally planned. That's all.
So do you want to talk us through that appointment and then when you went in basically into labour?
Yeah, the labour. So, we went in then for a growth scan, kind of like a second opinion, just to see and get them to check me out and stuff when I went up on the Friday. So we went up and there was no one available. Oh, it was a bit of a disaster of a day. We were hanging around for ages, but we were just sent back home. So I was sent back home that whole weekend. I kept the ball or the kept the pool in the kitchen. I had all my lights on, like my fairy lights. I was on the ball for the entire weekend, had my hypnobirthing tracks in my ear. It was a lovely weekend. I was just on the ball, watching movies, listening to my tracks, on and off, getting really, really strong surges. So my waters hadn't broke or anything like that. The sweep didn't work. It was just a really slow start, but I didn't actually think it was even near labor. I felt really grand. I was just uncomfortable. I didn't sleep a whole lot that weekend. I just remember going from the bed to the couch, to the bed, to the couch, to the bathroom. Like, I couldn't lie down on my back, couldn't lie on my side. It was my lower back and my bum. I remember actually the only bit of relief I'd get was either sitting on my ball or sitting on the toilet. I mean, sitting on the toilet and holding onto the door. Do you know that? Just the bit of relief. It sounds so mad, but that's the only way I'd get a little bit of relief from the feeling. It wasn't even pain, I was just really uncomfortable, but little did I know that was obviously the start of it. So the whole weekend was kind of, yeah, I didn't sleep and I was just uncomfortable. So Monday morning came around, we actually booked when we were there in the Coombe on Friday. There was no one available, so they said come back on Monday at 9 o'clock. We said right, grand. So at this stage over the weekend, I thought to myself, right, we're not having this home birth, let's just get used to it. So it's fine, I kind of came to terms with it. And then I got really, really excited. So we woke up Monday morning. I knew I was just going in for the growth scan, but at this stage, I was one day away from being 42 weeks. So I knew, like, this is the end now. So he's coming, you know. So we went up to the Coombe. Now, we took our bags and everything with us just in case anything happened. I'll never forget the journey up the car. So they obviously came very, very bad then on the Sunday night. The surges were really strong. I wasn't really, I was timing them, but they weren't anything to like to write down, you know, when they're really sporadic, there was nothing to kind of take note of. They were just really uncomfortable. So we went up to the coom on the Monday morning and got the scan, and she was measuring whatever it was, and she said, yeah, this baby is, yeah, it's a big baby. I just hate when they're just like, oh, it's a big baby. Like, it's no problem with big babies. It doesn't matter. Like, he is looking a bit big, but he wasn't huge. And she did notice that there was fluid surrounding him. So I was lying there, and she said, yeah, you can go on up and go into a different, I don't know, I went up to a different area in a different room of the coom. But I remember I couldn't sit down in the waiting room. I was waiting for ages, and I was just, they were getting really, really bad. And I think, I don't really remember the timeline of that day, because that's when the labor really kicked in when I was up there. But I didn't even realize, Cora, I was getting examined, and I lay down, and the midwife said to me, are you, it wasn't even the assessment unit, it was some other area. And she said, are you okay? And I said, I don't know, I don't feel great. And she's like, you're in labor, you need to get up to the assessment unit. So from the minute I went straight up then, and yeah, it turned out that I was dilated, and I had actually been in labor, and I didn't really realize it. I just thought they were, I don't know what I thought they were. I knew they were something, but it wasn't what I had thought that it would feel like, you know. It was just, I was really uncomfortable. And they just kind of, yeah, they sort of took my breath away every now and again, but there was nothing. It wasn't pain, I think. And again, I think that's all to do with the hypnobirthing, because I just accepted them. I managed them. They weren't sore. They were, I mean, yeah, it was uncomfortable. I'm not going to say they weren't sore, Jesus. But it wasn't pain or anything like it. So yeah, then what time was that? Was during the day. That was, oh yeah, we had gone into like coming up into lunchtime, I think, on the Monday. We were in the assessment unit. And again, we were, they still hadn't mentioned anything about like admitting me or anything like that. They had just had my chart, and they were having a chat with me about everything and seeing how I was. But they noticed on my chart that I said I was having a home birth, and my birth plan, I forgot about this. I wrote out a little, like birth preferences. Now, it wasn't a birth plan, you know, it was, I think it just in case I ever had, to go into hospital, I wanted to just have a few little things kind of written down. Just simple. I think it was like, I wanted the room to be dim, you know, like low lighting. I didn't want there to be too much chatter in the room. I wanted to be able to play my music. Just little things like that. I wanted to be on all fours. I didn't want to be on the bed or coat pushing or anything like that. So I obviously had that at the front of my chart. So the women were, the midwives were, obviously you couldn't miss it when they opened the chart. So they were so lovely. They were saying to me, you know, oh my God, I believe you wanted to have your home birth, but you know, your baby's coming today and you're not going home today. And the two of us, kind of the realization that I sort of looked at Jamie and was thinking, oh my God, we're actually going to be here. Baby's going to be here in a few hours, you know? So it was lovely. I burst into tears kind of thinking, the realization, right, we're here now, we're not having the home birth, the baby's going to be here, and you know, I'm going to be fine. The excitement kind of kicked in, and that was amazing. But they were just so, I'll just never forget how nice they were, because they just kept referring back to the home birth, because I was kind of really emotional, and I was crying, but I was like, I wasn't hysterical, but I was crying. I was saying, you know, really had planned a home birth, you know, I didn't expect to be in here. And they were just saying, you know, we're going to make this so lovely for you. You can still have everything. You can have the lights off. And, you know, we will try and make this a lovely experience for you. So they were so lovely. They made it so nice for me. And it turned into like, I'm getting like jitters now, even in my legs, just even talking about it now, it's coming back to my mind now of how they made me feel.
It's so lovely that they did that with you, and they recognized that what you wanted.
Yeah, that's the thing. They didn't have to do that. Like, I was just someone else, you know, I was just someone who was coming in to be assessed, going into the labor ward to have their baby. Like, they just made it so nice. They were just so understanding. And yeah, they just made me feel at ease instantly. I felt really safe then. and myself and Jamie could really relax. I think I hadn't really relaxed up to then because I was just, I didn't know whether we were staying or whether we were going home, what was happening. And I think we just went with it then. And and it's funny because from then it all kind of ramped up, and we were straight down into the labour ward. And the labour pains came fast then for a couple of hours. So it all kicked off then.
I wondered, did labour really pick up when you knew you were in an environment where you were being listened to? You'd spoken to Anya and you'd really settled in. I wondered, did the oxytocin really get flowing then?
Yeah, I wonder. Exactly. And we had actually, and we were talking to Anya in the meantime. So I was on the phone to her after been speaking to the consultant, saying, you know, they think that we're staying. And, you know, she had kind of reassured me, look, there's absolutely no problem. I can be with you. I can come in. You can, you know, she was just reminding me of everything we'd worked on. And I think then the two of us just felt, right, we're ready now. And this is where it's what this is meant to be, you know. And yeah, my body just definitely just relaxed. And then, yeah, I was in active labor then we went down into the labor ward that evening. No, it wasn't even that evening. It was about 4 o'clock, I'd say 4 or 5 o'clock, because I remember Jamie going down to get snacks, bringing snacks back up. And I'm like, oh, go away from me. I can't eat. I had brought so many snacks, and they say to bring in like protein bars. And I was packing my hospital bag, and they had, you know, all these things. I didn't want anything near me. Like I just was focused. I was like, don't. He was coming up with like bars and popcorn.
Oh,
and all.
God.
I'm like, no, go away. I don't have the time. Yeah, thanks. But I just don't, you know. I couldn't believe how strong the surges came then. And they were really down into like my back. I know they come, you know, different people, girls have them in different, they feel them in different ways, I suppose. But I was on the ball. I could only sit on the ball. Couldn't, the bed was left like made. I didn't touch the bed. Couldn't even go up onto the bed. For those couple of hours, I was just labouring on the ball. I had my tracks in my ear. I actually spent a lot of time in the shower. I found the shower was fab. The water on my back. They advise you to go down and take a shower. So I think I had two or three showers probably in the space of the few hours that I was there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So out of my two children, Eva is naturally the most curious. She's in at everything. She wants to see what's on every press. She wants to see how every toy works. Is just into everything. And although it's it's just a new way of parenting that I didn't have with Oliver. I just had to be prepared for this child who needs constantly, who's being stimulated constantly. So say hello to Brain Building with PandaCrate. It's exactly what I needed. It's a subscription service for play essentials designed just for babies and toddlers aged 0 to 24 months. It's created by play experts at KiwiCo in partnership with Seattle Children's Hospital. PandaCrate is thoughtfully designed with care to stimulate your baby's brain development through play. PandaCrate is a science-backed, research-based approach to play and recognises that there's more to babyhood than the milestones itself. So within the PandaCrate, there was lacing beads. So Eva can sit down and do something like a jigsaw, but she'll have it done really quickly. And she, with the lacing beads, it takes her just a couple of minutes and she has to use both hands so she can really explore each piece, thread the shapes onto a string and develop bilateral coordination. Really, really handy. And also there's a peg puzzle. So it's another way to solve shapes, and it's nice. They're nice wooden, robust toys. They're easy to clean, nice solid shapes. And I find the other toys that you put, for her anyway, to put say a block into something is far too easy. So the peg puzzle was just really handy. It challenged her a little bit more than the others. Whether you're a first-time parent or not, PandaCrate provides a way to simplify the early years with just right products to support your baby's rapid development in the first 2 years of life. Countless hours go into creating the playthings in this box. KiwiCo designers ideate, iterate and prototype, test, review and revise, and then they do it all again. So every material, colour, angle and curve is a thoughtful choice designed to stimulate your baby's brain development through play. And as I mentioned before, you can really see that in, especially with the pieces in the peg puzzle. Unlock brain building play and create a foundation for early learning with PandaCrate from KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping with code IOREBIRTH at kiwico.com. That's 30% off your first month at kiwico.com with promo code IOREBIRTH. On to the rest of this week's episode.
Yeah, so the labour kind of, that part, I didn't particularly enjoy that section of the day. That was just really intense. And it's funny, I had said obviously that I didn't want any medication. I'd pay medication. I didn't want anything. I thought, no, I'll do it myself. I'm absolutely fine. And I know towards the end they kept coming down to me to ask me if they could give me something. Do you know? Do you want something? No, I'm fine. And then I remembered I had my TENS machine in my bag. But sure, I was, what good was that? It was honestly towards the very end. I remembered I had it, so I thought I'll put it on and just see what it's about. Because my friend swore by it. She told me to get one. So the midwife put it on, but sure, the minute I pressed it, I felt instantly sick. I was like, get it off. I didn't want it on at all. Whatever the feeling was, I don't know, it made it worse for me. I didn't like it. So whipped it off me. So yeah, there's a brand new, if anyone's looking for a brand new TENS machine, never worn. Oh, and I was like,
yeah, it suits some people and not others. Some people can find it really irritating and just want it off straight away.
I was kind of in that irritated phase where I didn't want it on my back. And then, God, it just felt really weird on me. But I know it's really, really good and other people really love it. I think I put it on too late. That's all it was. Like I should have been putting it on when I was at home on the Saturday or something. But it did no favours for me. So they checked me again towards the end, just after I took off the machine actually, and I was 4 centimeters, so I could go down to the delivery room. But that was at about 11 o'clock at night, so I'd gone from sort of 4 o'clock that day, like I'd labored for the entire day up to about 11 o'clock that night. So I was exhausted, hadn't even started the actual act, the active labor part yet. But yeah, I was just so excited. Like I remember walking up to the delivery suite. They were saying, you know, oh, you're up in room 12 or whatever it was. I think it was room 12. And I was so excited. We were chatting going up, and oh my God, just, you know, then with just that moment where you're like, is this actually happening to me? Like, is this about to happen? It was just, I mean, we were so excited. But I'll never forget the room was just, I say this all the time, this part was actually my favorite. And it's so weird, like it's the this is the, you know, the active labor, the pushing phase, the, you know, the most intense thing that you'll do. But it's the part that I really enjoyed the most. We went into the delivery suite and they had the lights all turned off. And there was like a, I don't know whether it was a salt lamp or like a lamp, a really dim light in the corner. Like they'd literally read my birth, like my little preferences, and they'd made it. I nearly burst out into tears. Like, you know, saying that they probably do it for everyone, but there was no, to me, it wasn't like bright lights. It wasn't like this sterile environment that I had in my mind what it was going to, you know, I pictured when I was picturing the hospital, I was just picturing the worst case scenario, I suppose, before then. The lights off, and I still had my music in my ear. I actually made a lovely playlist. So I wasn't really listening to the hypnobirthing tracks. I was just listening to like gorgeous songs. I did a lovely playlist, all like not chart songs, but songs that you'd know. Do you know, I think I was playing James Bay, and just lovely. I had lovely music on, and actually I think I had Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra as well. Like just a really lovely playlist, but I had them in my ears, and they just had the whole, I just felt instantly just calm. I just went in instantly calm, and that was the delivery suite. So Anya arrived up shortly after, which was amazing. I was so excited to see her all come up. And I think when she arrived, and then there was another midwife, and the midwife that was there was just, she was speaking really low to me, and everything was calm, and everyone who came in the door was, it was just all very calm and exactly what I wanted. So yeah, I loved it. Now it's funny, I was only thinking about this today, looking back at it, I was obviously absolutely sweating. Like it was, I think I walked in the door and just stripped off, just completely stripped off. And Jamie was looking, I think he was looking for like a nightie or something that I'd packed, or you know, the way you're like, get me my labor clothes, you know, you think you're going to wear this, whatever it's going to be, like I want to get the navy polka dot, you know, nightdress or whatever, get it out of my side pocket in the first bag, you know, I thought I had. Well, sure, he was upturning every bag, couldn't find anything. So in the end, I was like, it doesn't matter. Like I was getting really, you know, when you're just that agitated, I was sweating. So I ended up just like, no, it doesn't matter. It's funny, isn't it? You just don't care in that moment. You're just like, no. So I'm walking around the delivery suite completely naked, like going in and out of the toilet to sit on the, to get some relief on the toilet, because that was the best way for it, the best position. And Anya actually had the water, my water still hadn't broke, but when I sat on the toilet then, did you do the, you know, you do the position where you sit facing
backwards, yeah,
yes, you sit facing the bathroom, facing the cistern. So the weirdest position you could ever possibly sit on. I was like, you're not making me sit this way. But the second I did, my water broke into the toilet.
Yeah,
so it frightened the life out of me. Got such a fright, burst into tears, because I just thought, what, you know, you just get such a fright, and then it's like the relief, oh my god, it's happening, like my waters are finally broke. So yeah, the waters broke, and then we went back out onto the floor, and I went, they had a like a yoga, like a mat laid out for me and a bean bag. It was just lovely. And I went down on I was on all fours then for the whole labor, pushing the entire time. I didn't go near the bed, another bed that was left made that I didn't go near. So we yeah, it was lovely. Anya was there the whole time with me, with the other midwife as well, and it was nice because, you know, we'd worked with Anya, myself and Jamie had worked with her, and like, you know, preparing for everything. And it's just so, just to have that familiar, that extra little push that you need, you know, that little bit of encouragement. And I felt really safe and really in control, knowing that she was there as well. It was gorgeous. She had like all the oils, and she was massaging my back, and it sounds like the dream, but it's funny. We were down, and I was down on all fours, and I was I hope he doesn't mind me sharing the story. He won't, because I just talk about it all the time. Jamie was sitting on a chair, and I was just kneeling. I had my arms. He had basically a pillow on his lap, and I had my arms on the pillow, and I was on all fours. So I was essentially just leaning on him for hours and hours and hours on end. But he was completely trapped under me. There was no way he was leaving. And he was holding the gas and air with one hand, and he was obviously had a face cloth, I think, on me, but I was sweating, and I'm there, you know, I was pushing and stuff. And I kept saying to him, will you take that jumper off? He had this he ended up, he was wearing a pair of jeans and a woolly jumper, right? Like the wooliest jumper. Now it was February, so it wasn't warm. So he wanted to be, you know, and we only went up on the Monday thinking it was a check, thinking it was a scan. You know, we weren't prepared really. I was prepared. I had my bag, but nothing packed for him. So top tip for any, make sure your partners have some sort of comfy clothes with them. But anyway, he was stuck in these pair of jeans and this woolly jumper, and he's trapped underneath me, and I'm squeezing him, and I'm, you know, holding on to his legs. But I kept saying to him, will you take that jumper off you? I'm sweating. Take that jumper off you. I'm sweating. And he's saying, Leanne, I remember whispering, babe, it's okay. I'm the windows are open. You know, like the windows were open. It was the middle of the night. I was pushing and I was obviously sweating, but I kept saying, it was really agitating me. I was like, will you just, oh, we laugh now thinking back a bit. But I kept saying, yeah, take that jumper off. I'm sweating. Because I was holding on to this woolly, like, I was just saying, take it off you. It was irritating me. You know, you're so irritated. You're just like, but obviously I felt terrible for him because he's sitting there under me for hours on end, didn't get to move. But yeah, so we did. So that was, well, the labor was quite long. It was really, really long. I obviously had all my music. I took my earphones out, my ears. I just had sort of the phone on the bed and had the music playing, and like, it was gorgeous. I just remember just going into myself. I really kind of went inward, and I was just concentrating on my breathing. Anya was behind me and the other midwife, and it was so quiet, so calm. Now I was on the gas and air, so I mean, I was absolutely loving that. But I just remember it being really, really calm. But I didn't realize, obviously, hours and hours and hours and hours had passed, and I'm still at it. Like, I was just I thought I was breathing my baby down. That's what we were, you know, that's what I was doing. I'd visualized it in my head. I was pretty sure, like, that that's exactly what I was doing. The baby's head was there. I actually remember turning to I kept turning to Anya and being like, am I doing okay? Am I doing it right? You know, there was a few moments where I was kind of looking for reassurance, because I felt like I was at it for ages and no one had really said anything. I was just sort of doing it, and they were all like, oh, keep going, everything is great. You know, they were just letting me be. It was really quiet in the room. There was no, like, it was just really calm. But hours had actually passed. I didn't obviously realize. I wasn't really progressing, but I was convinced that the baby was there. I was like, it's there. Like, I can feel the head. Like, no, I couldn't at all. It was obviously, I don't know what it was. It was all in my head. So I was at it for a long time. I was getting very, very tired. The labor went on for quite a while into the night. I think it went 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I was still at it. Anya left then, and I was still in the same position. I don't know how I lasted that long, but I was absolutely fine. I was just tiring myself out, and I wasn't really getting anywhere. So the next morning they checked. I think at one stage they just said to me, I think the sun was coming up. It was obviously the next morning, and I'm still there, like, in the same position. I don't know how Jamie didn't collapse, because he hadn't moved off that couch. He's like crushed underneath me, and I'm just there squeezing his legs. But obviously I was just trying my best, and yeah, we weren't progressing. So the next kind of team of midwives came in, and they were like, morning, like, okay, let's get up, get you up on the bed and see what's going on. I was like, what is happening? It was, I was just exhausted at that stage. They checked me, and I think I was at 6, but I had thought at that stage, like, I have to be 10, like, I have to be near 10, you know. You know, and that was a bit of a killer. I've been told I was only at 6 centimeters. So I was just exhausted. You know, you just totally burn yourself out. So I got up on the bed, and I think they gave me pain relief then. This bit is kind of, Jamie kind of fills me in on the details of this, because I think I was just so exhausted that I kind of lost track of what happened. But I took the pain relief then, obviously. But I mean, I'd gone the whole way just with the gas and air, but I was exhausted. They checked the baby, everything was absolutely fine. What happened was, the baby was just coming down. The widest part of his head was coming down first. So he just wasn't fitting through my pelvis. he was coming down and he was going back up, and there was just no way he was going to, there was just actually no way he was going to come out vaginally, unfortunately. They were trying, they did give me every opportunity to try it, but we got, I was put on the drip then just to help me as well. What is it? The Syntocin, is it? Yeah. And that helped with the surgery. I was kind of in a little bit of pain at that stage, so that helped with that. And I lay on my side and I had that peanut ball, which was gorgeous. You know, the lovely ball that kind of opens you up, and it's lovely. I just felt really relaxed then. I kind of relaxed a little bit. I think I nodded off. I had a bit of a, I think they let me have a sleep. I can't really remember what happened after that. But I was, it was coming into the morning anyway, and they were like, look, we'll give you an epidural because you're, nothing's happening here. So yeah, then we went and I ended up getting an epidural then, and that was fab. Again, something I hadn't really wanted, not that I hadn't really wanted, but it was something that I hoped I didn't have to get. I was open to it, but I didn't think I would be getting one. And then sure, the minute they offered it, I was like, yes, please. Whatever it's going to take. I sort of fell asleep, and they said, right, we're going to give you more time to see what happens, if the baby moves position or anything. But no, the baby was just in the wrong position. He was absolutely fine, but they were just a little concerned that it wouldn't have worked, like that I just wouldn't have been able to deliver vaginally. So yeah, so the consultant came in and just had a little chat with us and said, look, listen, I think we should go down and we'll book you in now. Let's go up there and at 11 o'clock and we'll get this baby out. So that was the end of the most eventful little night. So we, I kind of was like, a section. So are you talking about a C-section? And she's like, yeah. So I was exhausted at this stage, but I was crying. I was like, no, I didn't want a C-section. She said, listen, I know you wanted your, and then this was a different midwife. How nice. Like, this was a totally different midwife. And she said the exact same, you know, I know you wanted your home birth, and, you know, we're going to make sure everything goes the way you want it to go. And I promise, like, you know, we'll really, we'll make this a lovely experience, and you're going to meet your baby soon. So yeah. So that was the decision made then. So it went from me thinking that I was having the baby on the floor to going and having a section.
You must have been so drained because you were labouring for so long and really felt like you were,
yes,
on the home run. So you were about to meet.
Yes. That's exactly it. It felt like it was a home run, and I was constantly like, this is the end. Baby's about to come. And then it was like, no, yeah, no, no, no. And it was getting further and further away. And the exhaustion, I was absolutely like, there was nothing left in me. Do you know, I wouldn't have been able to go any further. I hadn't slept since like the previous, like the Friday or Saturday. Do you know, I'd been awake all night long. And there was how I even lasted that long, like with all the pushing, I don't know. But yeah, something kicks in, doesn't it? You're kind of, you're on it, the adrenaline just kicks in, and you just get on with it. But yeah, I definitely hit a wall and I was drained. So at that stage I was saying, yeah. Let's do it. Let's do the section. So that's, and then, so it was literally, it was like two different, completely different days, you know.
Yeah.
It was just the maddest, like, couple of hours, 24 hours, absolutely mental. So we had planned, it was lovely. Do you know what? I had in my head, and I've heard of, and I know emergency C-sections go very differently, and there can be a lot of panic, and there can be a lot of, a lot of rushing and a lot of, I don't know, for some people it can be an emergency situation. I felt like this was thought out. It was calm. I call it like a gentle section, because I felt like it was, right, okay, we're going up now. I think I had about half an hour to kind of prepare for it. So I think someone came in and gave me, topped up the epidural. And like someone else, you know, they came in with the trolley, popped me on the trolley, and, okay, we're going to go on up to the theatre now. Jamie's going up ahead of you. They were chatting away to me as we were going up. It was all very like I even remember the conversation I had with the man who was wheeling me up, like, lovely man. We were talking about, like the weather, and he was saying to me, oh, is this, I have the best job, I get to talk to, you know, good looking women all day long, and you know, it was lovely. But I actually remember like how calm I was going up, even though I had the gown on and I was being wheeled up for surgery, and which was something I feared more than anything. But all of a sudden they just made me feel so calm about the whole thing. And it was nothing like, thankfully it was nothing like what I imagined. It wasn't like an emergency, or there was no panic. Everything was just really like, oh, we're going up now at 11 o'clock. You're booked in, you know? So off we toddled, we went on up, and, I was wheeled in to the, like, this is funny. I was booked in for 11 o'clock and he was born at 11:01. Like, I cannot believe.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot believe how quick the sections take. Like, Jamie nearly missed it. We were wheeled up and I was like wheeled in, and, you know, I was kind of calm. I think at that stage, the minute the doors opened, I kind of went, you know, you get the shakes. I even kind of have to know talking about it. You get those uncontrollable shakes. It's just natural, isn't it? I think it's with the medication and everything, but it kind of kicked in, and I remember like trembling on the bed. But there was this gorgeous midwife at my head, and she was chatting away to me, like, Jamie's on his way in, your baby's going to be here. And she was just chatting to me, and it definitely was only a few seconds. They were like, okay, your baby's about to be born. What? Like, he's here. And then within seconds, Jamie walked in. So Jamie just appeared at my head at the exact second that they lifted him up. And they were like, everyone just kind of gasped at the same time and went, oh, the size of him. He was a big boy. He was 10'7". Okay, yeah. I know that's not huge in ways, but he just looked like this big chunk. Like, he was huge. And I kind of looked straight away and I saw that it was a boy. We hadn't found out what it was going to be. So we just kind of were like, I just glanced and I was like, it's a boy. Like, the two of us couldn't believe it. We just were like, you're joking me. Like, I felt like I just turned around to ask your woman how she was, and all of a sudden the baby was there. Like, it's definitely not what I thought it was gonna be. I can't believe how quick it happened. We were bawling our eyes out, and of course I was I hadn't really thought about the whole section and what happens with the sections. I'd known obviously that you can have skin to skin. I wanted skin to skin. But he was lifted obviously up, and we got to kind of see him. And then he was taken over to the far side of the side of the room. And, you know, I didn't hear that cry that you're waiting for. I mean, it feels like a lifetime when you're, the whole room goes quiet and you're just thinking, oh my God, like, there's no cry out of them. What's happening? And I was obviously still trembling. I still had those shakes and I was crying. Jamie went over. I just said, totally cool. You know, they said, go on, Daddy, you can. It was all very calm. There was no panic or anything. Everyone was chatting away. And but they were obviously over with him in the corner. And they said, come on, Daddy, you can go over and see him. So I think Jamie went over to see him and came back to me and said, you know, he's fine. They're just working on him. And I probably was only like 30 seconds, probably like a minute. But it felt like forever. I was like, why isn't he crying? What is going on? Do you know, everything's fine. He had obviously with him having the fluid around him. He was just having a little bit of trouble, obviously breathing. So he finally let out. It wasn't finally, it was probably only a few seconds, but as I said, when you're lying down there and you're waiting for that, you're like, oh my God. He finally let out a cry, but it wasn't, oh my God, I'll never forget it. It wasn't the cry that you expect. It was, and I actually, it's funny, I put my hands up to my ears, like, because I couldn't listen to it. It was like distressing. It was kind of, he was obviously just gurgling, you know, he was trying to clear his little throat, but it just wasn't a very nice sound because there was water on his lungs. It was a bit, that was a bit upsetting. I couldn't really listen to that. And then I was still kind of waiting for them to bring him over to me. I don't know. I just kind of was like, okay, put him on my chest now. But no, they ended up, a man, another midwife came in with an incubator, and I was like, oh no, like, is everything all right? So he was absolutely fine. They just wanted to bring him straight up to the special unit. So they put him in the incubator, and they sort of wheeled him past me, and they just stopped kind of as they were passing me on the bed. And I kind of had a little, I got to see him, you know, I was like, oh my God, look at him. But with all his little tubes and everything, I didn't really get to sort of see his face properly. And they just wheeled him off. So I was a bit like, I was just kind of left there. You know, it wasn't exactly how I thought it was going to be, you know, after it all. I didn't get to do the skin to skin, so that I was kind of upset over that. But I'm just in a little bit of shock, I think. You know, obviously after the section, you're in a little bit of like, hold on. Like, within a minute that all happened. Like, it was in, as I said, we were in at 11, he was born at 11:01, so this was obviously a couple of minutes later. And they were tending to me on the bed then, making sure I was okay and everything was fine. And then I woke up, and Jamie had been up with him in the special unit, and he took loads of photos of him and brought him down to me. And you know, he was we couldn't believe the size of him. He was such a big baby, he was so chubby. But so that's kind of how it ended. It was amazing how it began, but I was a bit disappointed in the end when I didn't get to have him. I was just quite worried about him for those first few hours, really worried about it. But he was totally fine. He just he had a lot of fluid on his lungs, so he just needed a little bit of help.
So when did he come back down to you then?
He didn't actually come back down to me until the following day.
Okay.
So that was hard. He was due down, I think he was due, they kind of were saying to me throughout the day, like, I was wheeled back down to the ward, and I think I slept it off. I had a little nap, because I knew, like, they were like, he's up there for just an hour or so, and we'll bring him down to you. So I was kind of gearing up for that, and I don't know. He was born at 11, so 11 o'clock in the morning, and we went the whole day. He still didn't come down to me. They just weren't releasing him. They weren't happy with him, so they kept him up there. But I was kind of up and down. I was being wheeled up to him, to feed him. I was expressing at the time. Didn't have my boob. I was expressing for the first day for him. So I was kind of going up and down with food or with the milk for him. But I couldn't hold him. So I didn't get to take him out of the incubator then for that day. And I went back to bed that evening, or back down to the ward, slept that night. They kind of said to me, he'll be back with you in the morning. And oh God, they didn't come. He wasn't in the morning either. I was back up to him and up and down. And it was eventually, I think, 5:30 the next day, when he was wheeled down to me finally, and I got to hold him on my chest. Mm. But it was, it was a long, we missed that instant, I missed the skin to skin and the, like that. It was nearly 30 hours, you know, from when he was born to when I actually had contact with him. So that was a bit hard. And actually, at the time, you know, you're just so exhausted and you're in a daze, and I was so happy. And you know, I think looking back now, you realize it was kind of shitty, you know. It wasn't the best sort of start for us. But he was absolutely fine. They just needed to keep him up a little bit longer.
How did you feel physically then?
Oh, amazing. I really, really, really recovered really well. Okay. I sort of forgot, like, I nearly forgot that I had sex, and I kept jumping up out of the bed. Oh Jesus, I better not do that. Like, I felt great. I was moving around quite quickly, leaning over. You know, I know it's really uncomfortable. It is really uncomfortable, obviously, for those first few days. But I recovered really well. I remember feeling great. I was just exhausted. I hadn't slept, and I was in the. He was born on the Tuesday, and I was in until Friday. And for all of those nights, for those four nights, I didn't sleep a wink. I don't know how anybody sleeps in the hospitals. Fair play to anyone who gets any rest, because I don't know what happened. I just couldn't close my eyes. So I think I was just running on adrenaline. I felt great. I thought I felt great. Like, physically, I was just I was just tired, but I was just buzzing. Like, he was born, he was beside me. I was obsessed with him. I couldn't believe that he was here. And I was kind of, you know, Jamie was in and out to me so much, and we're very lucky. He was born just actually 2 weeks before the lockdown. So the first lockdown of last year. So I got to have Jamie in with me the whole time, which was amazing. And
yeah.
I feel for anyone in this, it must be hard for anyone now when you're, when they're, they don't have that support there with them. But yeah, I loved being in the hospital. They were really took care of me. And I loved those couple of days that I was in there. I physically felt great. I didn't sleep, but I just, yeah, as I said, I was just sort of rolling with it. I was just kind of going with the flow and running on, yeah, adrenaline. I think I crashed and burned when I got home. Then I slept for my mom came over and minded him for a couple of hours, and the two of us went to bed for, I think I slept for, well, actually I didn't sleep for that long, but yeah, I definitely needed it. But no, physically I was fine. I recovered really well. I just took it easy on myself at home and stuff. I didn't do anything major. And we hit the lockdown then. So for the first 2 weeks, obviously we didn't really have any visitors except our parents, our immediate family. And then lockdown hit. So we were sort of forced to be stuck at home and do nothing. It was, yeah. It was actually amazing. It was a real blessing looking back. Like, we had that time where we'll never get that back. You know, Jamie was off work for 10 weeks, I think, nearly. We were just in our own little bubble. I was obviously healing, getting better. I felt great. Anya, I was getting the aftercare from Anya. So
great, yeah,
obviously because
ask.
I was, yeah, because I was still kind of under her care. You know, obviously I had signed up for the home birth, and although I didn't have my home birth in the end, I still wanted Anya to, and I still availed of that service. So she came to me, and she had four or five visits with me after he was born. And oh my God, I couldn't wait to see her. It was just, I lived for those visits. She came to the house and just checked my wound and checked on the baby. And it was fab. I just, even anything, you know, the little questions even you have in those first few days, like, for, as a first time mom, I had millions of questions, didn't know what I was doing. And knowing that she was calling over, like, I'd have a list of things to ask her, you know, and she just felt like a friend, and we built a lovely relationship with her. So it was lovely to have that care in those first few weeks. That definitely helped me heal and, yeah, just adjust and kind of settle into motherhood, I think. She just, yeah, it was really lovely those first few weeks. And then as soon as obviously she left us then and said goodbye, and we were sort of on our own then, but it was lovely because we were just figuring it out. You know, we were just figuring it out on our own. We were in lockdown, so there was no going anywhere. There was no, you know, visitors. There was no taking advice from anyone else. We kind of just were in this little bubble all by ourselves. And all looking back now, it feels like it's almost a year. He's 11 months now, so he's a year next month. But it's that time was just gorgeous. I loved it. As I know, we were in a pandemic and the world was falling apart, but like, our world was just full of love, and we were just in our own little bubble, and it was really fab. It just turned out exactly like, it's funny, like looking back on it. And I came back from the hospital, and obviously the pool had been taken down, and you know, they got rid of, as they say, all the evidence of what they thought I'd be really upset because I didn't get my home birth, you know.
Mm.
But I remember saying to Anya, like, in the hospital, I sent her a message when I was in the hospital saying, like, thank you for everything. You know, I had the most, I can't believe he's here, and this has been the most beautiful experience. And although it ended in the one thing that I said I didn't want, I can't believe I'm talking about it in such a positive way. And I absolutely loved every minute of the pregnancy, all of the births. Like, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think I'd do it all again tomorrow, whether I got to have my home birth or not. You know, I absolutely loved it.
Oh, gorgeous, Leanne.
Talk about it all day long.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You had such a nice group of people, like, between Anya, who obviously I am trying to be her best friend, constantly annoying her,
And oh my God. I know.
Everyone in the hospital.
Yeah. And it was just lovely. I love looking back on it. It was really fab.
And it was nice that despite, obviously you had your C-section, but you got to feel labour pains, the baby coming down. You got to feel all that as well, which has probably helped your recovery maybe on the other side of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Lovely. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for listening to me for so long.
No, I love it. No, I know. Likewise, like Sean sometimes knocks on the door and it's like, hey, yeah, it's 11:30. Oh, sorry.
I'm still talking. I'm sorry. Yeah, I listen. We could talk about it all day long. And oh my God. And thank God. And thankfully, I only have one birth story for you so far. Like, if you had to come to me when I had two or three down the line, we'd be here all night. No, yeah, I love talking about it, and I'm glad that I get to relive it a little bit when I'm talking about it. So it's nice; it just brings back all the good feels.
I hope you enjoyed this week's free release. I just love that episode chatting to Leanne. If you would like to share your story, you're more than welcome to get in touch over on the website irelandsbirthstories.ie. Click on the share your story tab, fill out a few details, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I think I'm up to date. I responded to everyone over the weekend, and you should have a recording date. Check your spam and your junk folders, because sometimes it goes in there for some reason. If I didn't get back to you, send me a message again and I will respond as soon as I can. Have a good week. Chat to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.